Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 203 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode of From Behind the Barbecue Frontlines, I talked to Charlie McKenna from Lily's Q in Chicago, Illinois. I'm really glad I got a chance to talk to Charlie. I talked to him on May 22nd, which is a week ago today. He was just reopening for takeout and delivery. Right before this whole COVID thing broke out, he had moved the restaurant to District Brew Yards about 5 minutes away from their previous location, and it's a place where they have four different breweries, taps for all those breweries, and you can, it's self-serve, and then he was going to be the food component. Well, they had to close. They have a giant patio, I think around 14,000 square feet within this place. It sounds amazing, but they opened up on Friday the 22nd for just takeout and delivery. They're going to see how things go. I think it'll be probably sometime in June before they could actually have seating. It's Chicago and Illinois itself, they're a little bit behind everyone else in the United States. But this one's really interesting because his business was booming. He has a second location in Destin, Florida, which didn't close. That one is like a barbecue shack you'd find in the South. So it was perfect for the situation with COVID. But his other location was a dine-in and a takeout. But it was the dine-in portion they shut down. So they're just reopening. But we talk about he has a large retail business with sauces, chips, rubs. It's in over 10,000 grocery stores. Plus, they're selling sauces to different establishments that were using their sauces. So that business dried up. He had locations in stadiums. He was just going to open up at Wrigley Stadium, but that's not happening, obviously, this year. He goes into a lot of different things. He mentions the Lee Initiative, and that's someone that he donates to, and that's someone that you guys should donate to. I'll put a link below to that. But I can't thank Charlie enough for taking the time, for sharing his story, for sharing everything that they're doing. And we talk a lot about the restaurant world and how this affects the restaurant world and what maybe they could do in the future to make things better if something like this happens again. The Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're at treatyoakdistilling.com, as well as AJ's Custom Cookers. That's AJ'sCustomCookers.com. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Tons of information, news stories, as well as lists of places you could buy barbecue online, meat online, places that are open, places that are closed during COVID, as well as stories on what people are doing behind the barbecue front lines. Thanks so much. Stay safe. Enjoy. So how are you doing personally?
Personally, I'm doing good. You know, I mean, obviously it's been a struggle over the last couple months, especially with the restaurant side of the business. You know, we had our locations in the United Center. We were actually putting a location into Wrigley Field this year.
Oh, I think I remember you telling me that. Oh my gosh.
So those units are actually closed, obviously, because there's no games going on right now. The restaurant in Bucktown, which was we called the mothership, we were planning to move it into a brewery before this happened. And now we've actually done that. And we're reopening today, Friday the 22nd, for takeout and delivery.
What's the brewery called? What was, or is it, you said it was, when we were off camera, you had mentioned a number of breweries all together, kind of, or?
Yeah, so what they did was they brought four smaller breweries together that are in Chicago, local Chicago breweries. And they kind of created a brew hall or brew food hall, basically.
That's so cool.
So there's four breweries here that actually have their tap rooms here. So they each have a wall that has roughly 10 taps on it.
Okay.
And then we're the food part of this space. So there's four breweries plus us in here. So we're doing all the barbecue for all the people that come to eat here. And then these guys get to showcase all their different beers.
Gotcha. So were you even able to have a chance to have a sit down restaurant like component there before this or no?
So before this, yeah, there's a huge sit down component to it. There's an outdoor patio. There's a huge indoor, the facility is 14,000 square feet. So
oh, wow.
Okay. The dining room is actually directly behind me right now.
Gotcha.
So there's plenty of seating. The problem is everyone knows Chicago is behind every other state, or Illinois is behind every other state on reopening. So they're talking about trying to let patios open next week, but okay, that's still in limbo. So our plan is to go with takeout and delivery starting today.
Okay.
Where you can order our food basically at districtbrewyards.com, and then it'll go through our whole system. And we're going to start with that and, you know, start getting people back to work as much as we possibly can, and see if we can put out some barbecue for people that are really needing it.
Definitely. Now, is this something where they could order online? Are the breweries, are they selling beers to go? Is that kind of how they're doing?
Correct. So we have all the canned, they can and they keg. So if you're drinking here, you drink off a pour your own system. which is super cool. You like put your card, pour it, and it calculates the money as you go, which is pretty awesome. And there's no service. So this model is going to fit really well into the post-COVID
stuff
because there's no servers. You serve yourself. When you come get the food, you kind of just hand us a card and that goes all on the same card. And then when you walk out, you drop this card in a bucket and it just charges your credit card that you've connected to this other little credit card that you use in this space. It's great.
This actually could be a model for other places too someday.
Down the road, I think this could be a huge model, right? Where people could, not have as much interaction. Now, obviously you don't get the interaction of servers coming to you and talking about the food as much or the beer as much, but like we have people walking around. And then also when they come through the line, we can explain to them all the different meats we have and how we cook them. So it should be a pretty cool setup once we get open fully. Eventually, maybe.
So now it'll just be exactly. It will be you guys are. I'm in Los Angeles, so you're a little bit behind us, and we're still essentially locked down. They say possibly till the end of August. So, and I've talked to people in Chicago, and I think I had talked to Scott Schaefer from Pause Up, and he had said that Chicago's still in a different place than a lot of the country.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have a restaurant in Florida and in Destin, Florida, and I was down there the last 2 weeks. Obviously one, I wanted to get out of Chicago and get out of lockdown and get some sun, but I also wanted to check in on that restaurant, which is doing well. And I understand that Chicago is behind the curve because of the density of population, right? It can spread much faster than in a smaller town, let's say, but they're going to have to do something soon because of how the density of how many restaurants in here and how many employees we all employ, that this could put a real dent. I mean, I'm expecting 30% of restaurants in Chicago to never reopen again.
I think they're saying that for Los Angeles too, which is hard to even put your head around because that's a big deal. The human cost, and then just the restaurant cost in general, just the void.
Ugh. It's drastic. I mean, luckily enough, I had this, we were moving into this brewery and I have a strong products company in grocery stores, which is helping out, right?
About that too.
So those type of things obviously help me, but I feel really bad for these chefs that have like struggled, they work their whole life, 100 hours a week to finally get their own single location open. And now something like this happens that could force them to close and have to go, find another chef job and not be doing what they want to be doing. And all because of COVID, it wasn't something they did, which is really the hard, hard thing to understand for, I think for a lot of people, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to be out of business because of like nothing that had to do with me.
Invisible,
some strange occurrence.
I
feel really bad for a lot of my chef friends that are like, oh man, I don't know if I'm gonna make it through it. And obviously I've done donations to like the Mill Scale raffle tickets, and we're gonna do all that, and hopefully we can help some other people get back open, and hopefully we can come together as a group and really strive and push restaurants as a whole to get all these people back open as best as possible and employ the people that they employ, right? I mean, these people are going to have to find new jobs or maybe even new careers, which I think is going to be a real struggle. Slower openings.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been in this business for 20 years, 30 years. They're either chefs or they're line cooks or they're servers or the staff. Like it's management. There's a lot of levels, and also too, like a lot of people look at restaurants that are working on a month-to-month basis and think that they're not smart economically, but it's a tough business, and food prices fluctuate.
And the economic model is not built for something like this to come into effect, right? You have big business which has their employees on a total salary or they're on a total hourly wage. Part of ours is paid by tips, so that doesn't carry over to their unemployment checks, right?
That's true.
And then you have restaurants run on such thin margins to keep the food costs down so that we can be comparative to, let's say, grocery stores. But that model doesn't actually translate into being able to take care of our employees and offer them health insurance and all that stuff because we don't take in enough of the income up front to do that. So I think going forward down the road, we're also going to have to think as an industry, how do we get in a better position to take care of our employees when something like this happens, offer everyone health insurance, and obviously the federal government has to stop bickering and come together. And hopefully they'll do that if they're leaders. If they're not, let's vote these fools out, get people that will.
and it's not just one person or 10 people. There's a lot of people that there's a huge readjustment that needs to happen because of what's happening now, because it's obvious. And because you and I are both in this restaurant world, we understand it, but all these people eat at restaurants, all these people, they must have family members that work at restaurants or periphery family.
Correct.
It's really, really sad. Now with your restaurant, how long has the restaurant in Destin been open?
That one has been open since 2008. So it's been open 12 years now. In July of this year, it'll be 12 years.
And you shut
that one's a quick service.
Okay.
No, we kept that one open.
Oh, so completely the whole time. I thought it was shut down for a little bit. Okay.
Because its model is just like a typical Southern barbecue shack. Mm-hmm. It has a patio, an outdoor patio that you can sit on. Most people were already functioned to either sit outside or take it to go. So all we did, we just kind of closed the outside patio at first, and then we just kept doing takeout and delivery for people that in that area that would come by and get the food. So that location actually has been doing decently well because so many other restaurants didn't have that model, so they had to close. So we actually picked up some business down there.
That's amazing.
When I first saw the numbers, I was like, are you guys sure this is correct? Because it's going up instead of down in this thing.
That is bizarre.
After I thought about it and saw that how many other restaurants in the area had closed and didn't have mm-hmm. a model to be able to offer someone to walk up to a window, get their food and leave, we realized, hey, this is actually a pretty decent model for.
And maybe that's something that restaurants have as a pivot, is to have that takeout and to go just in case something similar to this or not as bad as this, but something happens that they can always jump to that.
That's the crazy thing about this is like, let's say we get a vaccine for this. What happens in 3 years when something new pops up? Mm-hmm. And it's maybe stronger or makes a lot more people or makes people in, you know, a younger age group get much mm-hmm. sicker. Then we're going to have a bigger issue. So hopefully restaurants coming back are thinking of new ways to deal with this in the future and also be a little bit stronger going forward with how our financial model is set up to, i.e. make money / also take care of our employees.
Exactly. So now at that, the location you're at, how much, what's the address there? And then also is the menu pared down right now?
So the address is 417 North Ashland. It's in a neighborhood of Chicago called Westtown. It's literally about 5 minutes from my other location in the car.
Okay, cool.
And the only thing we pared down was we have a little part of the menu that is fried chicken called LQ Chicken Shack, mm-hmm. where we had chicken sandwiches, chicken tenders, and then bone-in chicken. So we're not offering the bone-in chicken right now. We are offering the sandwiches and tenders. So the menu is basically the same as it was before with all the barbecue, all the sides, chicken sandwiches, wings, and fried pickles as an appetizer. And then hopefully once we see how much business is coming in, we might and the demand for the bone-in chicken, then we'll probably add that in a week or a couple of weeks.
Well, that's not that. That's essentially, it's 99% of the same menu.
99% of the same menu.
How's the retail business going with the sauces?
So the retail business, obviously, in the beginning... Yeah, we have seven different sauces. We have a hot sauce. We have six different flavors of potato chips in large bags and small bags. And we also, so we have two parts of that business. We have obviously where we sell our rubs and sauces and food service sides that go to our locations in the United Center and Wrigley Field. And then we sell to restaurants and bars to use our products. And then we have the retail side, which is in grocery stores, right, across the U.S. Right now we're in about 10,000 grocery stores in the U.S. and nine That's different so countries. Awesome. It's grown drastically year over year, which is great. When I opened Lily's as a barbecue restaurant, I never expected to have that type of business. We kind of grew into it and then we, you know, took and ran with it. The food service side obviously got crushed. I mean, mm-hmm. I had tons of POs. Our sausages were on United Airlines. Our chips were on United Airlines.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that food service side of the business got killed. All those POs got canceled. I mean, I think we lost roughly $500,000 in business in one day of actually POs that were ordered that they canceled.
Uh-huh.
First I was like, oh, that's a huge number.
Yeah.
Obviously, most of that side of the business is in retail and grocery stores, not food service. So we were able to sustain going through this model that we're in right now. And our retail business, obviously, like most retail grocery store products, has actually risen because so many more people are cooking at home, mm-hmm. barbecuing at home, grilling at home. So we've actually gained business on the retail side, but we still have suffered some losses on the food service side that hopefully, by next year, we got all the stadiums back open and games being played, and we can really start to grow that as well.
Yeah, because even when sports comes back, they won't have fans for a while. So, that'll be closed, right?
Those stands will be closed. The one thing that we have run into in the product side of the business in grocery stores is the distributors of our sauce have cut their staff. The grocery stores don't have enough staff. They're trying to hire people because they've gotten so much busier. So once we ran out of stock on the shelves, it's been a challenge to get it. Even though we have the product made, it's hard to get it back on the shelf because the distributors that are shipping it are mainly focusing on the essentials like toilet paper and all that stuff first. Mm-hmm. Then they'll trickle down to the let's say, auxiliary products. Mm-hmm. And then once it gets to the grocery store, it could sit there for a couple of days because they don't have enough staff to actually restock their shelves fast enough. So that is one area where we thought, you know, it's been a struggle to do. And sometimes you can third-party stock shelves, but none of the grocery store chains are allowing that during this because they don't want any outside people coming into the store.
That does make sense. It's totally understandable.
So
yeah, because you don't even see the guys like the Lay's guys or the Pepsi guys. You don't really see a lot of them like you used to.
Yeah, because they'd be going in there and they'd make sure the store stocks, you know, the shelves are stocked. They'd make sure their sale tags are on. They make sure their products priced at the right point. Now they're not allowing any of those people in there to oversee their products. So it's been just trying to work with every chain individually, as well as our distributors, to be like, hey, how can we help get this to the stores so that people can have this in their homes and start to cook at home, as well as us trying to grow more of our recipes, recipe cards, usage for our products. YouTube channel for videos of me doing cooking lessons so that we can really train people how to use our products and they can, you know, have good times while they're, you know, on their own patio and can't leave their house.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also, it's interesting because a lot of people probably don't think about, like, you're juggling a lot of hats with this, and it's been exciting, and it's, as it grows, it's great. But when you're dealing with this kind of situation, that's a challenge. Is the online store working right now?
Online store is working, and it's, you know, obviously we're up in sales there, selling off our own website, which is great.
So I purchased from there in the past, and it's super easy, and it ships, and you guys pack it really well too, because if I'll put photos of your products on this video, because people should see you guys. It's amazing. You're beautiful, beautiful stuff. And I don't know who designs your stuff. If it's you, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's
really so cool. the bottle and the wax and all, and the label, all of that, I picked the bottle. I picked how to wax it. I picked how the label should look. We do have a graphic designer that kind of designed the clean look, which was very helpful. It is a very beautiful product.
Oh, yeah.
Part of that came from my background where I used to be in fine dining my whole career, really high-end dining. And I just took that mentality of everything needs to be super sexy. So I'm going to be in a different bottle and I'm going to have a different look. I'm not going to have, you know, pigs on the label. I'm going to be very clean. And I think it's actually help us grow and help us, you know, push our product out there to a much broader clientele than kind of just the street barbecue.
And when you see it on the shelf, it stands out. It does. It's not just because I know you and know your stuff. It does. It has a different look. And
most color schemes of barbecue sauce companies is all like brownish red kind of in that thing. And we're white and bright. And so when you do see it in a store set, you can really pick us out because we'll be the only kind of like premier white label that's on the shelves. So.
And you even have a killer white sauce that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah. We picked that up when we were down in Florida where the other location was. A lot of people were requesting it. So we started making it. It's a little bit different than your classic, which most of them have horseradish in it, which ours does not. So, but you know, all of them are good and all of them are fun to use. And up in Chicago, we get the, like, what's that? Right. But
yeah, you get that in LA
it's an opportunity for us to educate people even farther on the different regions of barbecue and why people do things and where they're from, who started them, and why we want to use them and continue using them to progress our kind of style of barbecue.
Yeah, no, that's rad. So is there anything else that people need to know about? So I'll put links to how to order online. Today is your first day. There's no seating, at least for now. Has the city even allowed 25%, or are you guys still behind us?
No.
Okay.
Not even 25%.
No, we're not at 25, but like Texas is at 25%.
They were saying that right now the schedule is June 26th to allow some partial reseating, but they haven't come up with that plan yet. And who knows if that gets pushed back or it gets moved up because our numbers start doing well. So we'll see how it progresses over the next couple of weeks.
And they need to provide you with specific guidelines on how to deal with everything, right?
Yeah. We're taking preemptive steps to do the best we can with all our employees in masks. We've got plexiglass shields by our cash registers. We have a 6 feet distancing to show people how far they need to be apart when they're waiting in line. So we have all that lined up already in the location, hoping that we can prove to government officials like J.B. Pritzker and Lori Lightfoot in Illinois that we can do this and we can manage it. I mean, one of the things that some people will forget that like kitchen people are and restaurant people are accustomed to washing their hands like 100 times a day already. So for us, it's not really anything new in the cleanliness standards because we want it to be spotlessly clean anyway and sanitized.
And all the surfaces, everything has to be.
Yeah. So Ours is just, how do we communicate that to the guests and make them feel comfortable that we're doing it and showing them that we're doing it.
So. It's an interesting challenge. And I'm glad that we finally got to do this, because we've been in contact for a couple of weeks, because and I'm excited that today, this is a big day to do this. What days a week will you be open, or 7 days? Is
it? So we're going to be open Tuesday through Saturday, close Sunday and Monday, and we'll be open from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. A little bit after lunch, and then mainly for dinner service. And then also the breweries can sell their beer with all our products as well, so that you can order beer and great craft beer, and you can order great barbecue and get it delivered to your house, or come and pick it up in the very front of the restaurant, kind of curbside pickup.
Gotcha. So you have delivery. Is there a specific company you're using for delivery?
That's one thing I would hope out of this COVID thing, that a lot of guests have realized that the third party delivery companies were really taking a huge chunk of change from us restaurants. Mm-hmm. Now, we felt like we had to do it because everyone else was doing delivery and you don't want to fall behind.
Of course.
But now I think people are really realizing, hey, if I go directly to their website or I call them directly, then we won't have to associate those fees with the restaurants, and we can get around that. And hopefully people will start to do that and get more accustomed to going directly to the restaurants individually to get their food.
And you guys are – so will you guys
so be we're doing our own well, – yeah, we'll be delivering ourselves at first right now. We are going to go on a third-party delivery app next week, Caviar, and that's just to kind of hopefully, you know, reach a bigger, broader base.
I've heard better things about Caviar. I have.
Yeah, they seem to be one of the better companies that I've dealt with. That's why we've only dealt with Caviar since we started doing delivery. And they're, for the most part, a really good partner in, you know, how their tech is run and how much customer service they have and how they treat the restaurants. They're a lot better than most third parties. So hopefully we can gain some sales off doing delivery that way, and, you know, reach a bigger delivery zone so people can really get our product without coming out.
Yeah,
really
like increase the radius.
Afraid to still leave their house. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. If you have a small radius that people can, there's ways to figure out too. Like you could have something delivered 2 miles to somewhere and they grab it. But now also too, yeah, so my brother does that with Howlin' Rays. He'll do, because they have only like a 2.5 mile radius. So he has it delivered to us to like Philippe's, and then it works.
And you guys go pick it up from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but anything we can do to get food to people would be great.
Now, so do you have gift cards too?
On our website for liliesq.com, they're actually gift cards, but they're only for buying online, the products company.
Retail.
We do have gift cards on the District Brew Yards website, which you can buy, which will be for the whole hall. You'll be able to use it for food, or you'll be able to use it for beer.
So that's helpful, right? That's good for the whole group. It helps all.
I mean, if people don't want to leave their house or they don't want to get food right now because they're feeling a little bit hesitant, please go to District Brew Yards and buy a gift card so that when we do open, you can come in and use that money. And it still helps support our employees and people that we're trying to get back to work.
Yeah, so that you guys will be there when things is all lifted.
When everything clears up.
Yeah, imagine too, like it really, when this does all clear up, imagine how much business people are going to be doing, because no one's going to want to be at home at all.
They're going to flock out. I mean, I want to get out already, so I can imagine everyone else that wants to flock out and get food and really have a more normal experience. You know, I think the restaurants that can reopen and do reopen are going to see a huge uptick in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be great for business and great for putting people back to work and kind of saving our neighborhoods in Chicago, as well as our bigger, larger communities like Chicago as a whole. So
for sure. Are there any foundations or organizations in Chicago that people should support or that you support?
So the Lee Initiative, a friend of mine who owns roughly 20 restaurants called the 50-50 Group, he is actually the one in town doing the Lee Initiative, which is brought from, you know, Kentucky, Edward Lee. So if you guys can support Edward Lee Initiative, I think it's a big thing, because they're making thousands of meals a day out of one of his restaurants they just pass out to restaurant workers. Anyone that basically comes up and asks for a meal will get a meal.
That's great.
And I think it's something that, you know, was well needed, especially with people taking such a pay cut and problems with unemployment crashing and not being able to get your unemployment as soon as you wanted it. So his name is Greg Moore and Scott Weiner. And they're doing, I mean, last I checked, they were at 1,100 meals a day one of their kitchens, which
that's
is
nice.
And the community rallying around that has been so great.
Okay. So I'll put links to all that below. And I'll write you if I forget of this or I can't figure out
exactly what.
And then otherwise, is there any other message you want to give the public? Anything else that you want them to know?
You know, I mean, my whole thing is like, let's keep some optimism. Let's have some patience. And then as soon as we can get back open and providing the best food and you want to get in here, let's get in here and eat. And hopefully you guys can have some great barbecue over the next few weeks, even though you may be still sitting in your house. And then when we can get people in, let's get them in and get out and enjoy the restaurants you love so much and help keep them around.
Definitely. Well, thank you for doing what you've been doing and what you're doing right now. I can't wait to visit this new location. It sounds phenomenal. It just sounds so much.
Yeah. Fun. When you get to Chicago, we'll give you a little tour of the whole city after we eat here. So.
Excellent. Next time you're in LA, when which will be a while, yeah. But when you are, we should get together for that lunch. We'll figure out something.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate the time and thanks so much.